Okay. Well, good to be here tonight. Good to see you all. And appreciate the invitation to bring the Word of God. Something deep down in your soul, as a brother, the ones were giving their testimonies a while ago, and the Brother Ward was talking about, you know, the folks that watching you, people watch you all your life, you know that, and people know you, and your own family, as well as other families, and so on, and then there's something deep down inside that when you, the calling of God is something God puts in there, and it's like Jeremiah talked about that fire burning. And there's something to that. There's something to it. And you want to be right yourself, and you want to help others to get a glimpse of the Lord. And so that's what this is about. And, you know, we might be able to encourage one and edify one another. Bob used that word several times there in the Word of God about edifying, edification. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, we're trying to bring some. This is more like a study, I would suppose. I really don't know. I've never preached, not this, and about the subject that we have tonight before us. We have many, many times, but not this message. But if you would turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 28 of the book of Proverbs, chapter 28. I wish you'd remember, wife and I in prayer, we traveled around the country. Pray for a meeting coming up. We're supposed to go up to Brother Humphreys. They're starting a meeting up there Wednesday night, going through Sunday. So if you would please pray for us in the meeting up there. We would really, really, really appreciate it. And we thank God for your prayers and the many miles that we drive. And when we have tear-ups, it's close to home or somebody's home. So that's worked out real good. And the Lord only knows. But anyway, Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says this: He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And then there's 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 7:14, you say, well, that was for the Israel. That's fine. You can say that if you want to, but you read it. Read it. Now read it, and don't just read over it. But here's what it says. If my people, now we understand, doctrinally speaking, exactly who he's talking to. Everybody knows that, right? We know who that is there. In this context, doctrinally, you're dealing with Israel and the Jew. But I can make an application. I'm the Lord's. And if you're saved here tonight, you're the Lord's. My people. Are we his people? Not only that, we're sons and sons of God through his blood. All right? If my people were to call by my name, the Bible says over in the book of Acts that it was talking about the disciples, they were called Christians first at Antioch. Called that. And so it says here, the people which called by my name. If you're called a Christian, then look what the rest of it says to us. See what I mean? All right, application. You can do it. The Bible said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, everybody in here tonight knows, by the grace of God, you know what we are in need of tonight. Bad. Now, I'm not talking to the White House, and I'm not talking to folks downtown. The only one I'm talking to is just us, right? It's just you and me, and so on. And I need it as bad as anybody in here. I'm serious. And I'm working on this, and last studying on it for a good while, I saw the... there's one thing about it, every preacher probably would amen this, unless he's just struck on himself, he wouldn't. But I don't think there's none here tonight like that, is that when you're studying the Word of God, and God laid something on your heart, He deals with you. He deals with you, and He deals with me before I get up here and bring this. There have been times, and I've said this before, there have been a lot of times when I've brought messages and get under conviction preaching, and then at the invitation go to the altar. I'm serious as I can be. You say, why? I need it. I need it. I need to do that. And it ain't for a show. It's because that I had to. Well, I just get up here and point my finger and say, you all get down here. And man, the Lord pointed down at me and said, you better get up there, boy. And there's something to that. There is. All right, but anyway, and so tonight we're going to talk about revival and repentance. And they're twins. Here's twins. Revival and repentance. And they go hand to hand. You ain't going to have one without the other. You ain't going to have it. It's absolutely impossible. And I got wrote up here, revival and repentance are twins, and you can't have one without the other. And I believe that with every bit of my heart. In your Bible, like I said, most of it's going to be kind of like a study. I hope it'll be a help to you, as it has been to me. In the book of Psalm 85, verse 6, it says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? There's sometimes when we don't have a lot of joy. And you're not going to have joy if you've got sin in there that needs to be gotten right. It may be with your wife. It may be with your husband. It may be with the children. It may be with brother and sister. It may be with Brother Parker. It may be with Sister Imogene. It may be with your song leader. It may be whoever it might be. You'll never have revival in your heart, and I won't in mine, until that thing has gotten right. And get it right. If something God's dealing with you about tonight, I have no idea about any of you all. Brother Parker hadn't talked to me about any of you all. My brother Danny, we've been around. He ain't talked to me about any of you all. And I don't know anything about you. I don't know what you've been doing next last week. I have no idea. And I don't know what you've been doing the last month or 6 months. I do not know. But I know what God laid on my heart. So let's bring that and let the Lord take care of it. All right, so we read the verse. Will they not revive us again? That's like, kind of like a little equal sign always taken to in the book, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Like I said again, I'm going to say this again. There'll not be any rejoicing, and I can't rejoice if I'm at outs with my wife. Period. I can't even preach without being right with my wife. I've told you this before. Many times I've got in the pulpit, and we rarely ever have a cross word. I'll be honest with you about that. I'm not lying. You can ask the kids. Wife and I rarely ever have a cross word. I've said things that in a hasty way and hurt her, and kind of, well, it's her fault. And then I go on and I get up to preach, and I said, the Lord says, uh-oh. And then I really say, uh-oh. And I have to go back and get things right with my wife and then get up and preach. I think I told that last time I was here. But I'm telling you that as an illustration. Again, I need that. All right, so I got to be right with the wife before I get up here. Amen. You say, well, and I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. So revival is very costly. I'm not talking about a series of meetings. I think that's an absolute misnomer. You understand? Get what I mean? I mean, you could have a series of meetings here and run 6 months every night and not have revival. Now, you can. Used to, we never had revival unless it run at least 2 weeks. We did that back there with Shady Nook. They'd have a two-week meeting with Brother Parker down there, Brother Arley. We'd go 2 weeks. And he always preached on hell. I remember that well. And so they'd run two solid weeks. And most of the time we had results. People get saved and so on, right? Our Brother Joe back there. I remember the night he got saved. I remember when Robert was saved. And so on and so forth. And down the road to go. But anyway, so what I'm talking about tonight is something that can be tonight. Tonight. You can have revival tonight in your heart and go home and rejoice in the Lord. And I hope this will be a help to you. All right, revival, and I want to say this, costly, and it's got to begin with self-examination. Now, it's easy for me to examine you all, or you can examine me. You can find some fault. If you can't find fault with me in about 30 minutes, you're in bad shape. And you just follow me around. There'd be some faults. There'd be something that would be contrary that you wouldn't like. And I'd be around you long enough, I'd find some things, And I'd make up some things. If I couldn't find any, to make myself look good. That's the way we do, ain't it? Well, I'm better than old so-and-so. And I don't, at least I don't do what she does. And at least I don't do what he does. Right? Right? Make ourselves look good, you know, and we'll and I even got here something I can do. Make us. I tell you, the Lord hates that if you want to know the truth. He does. All right, so in the book, he's talking about here, and it, like I said, it's very costly. And the Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, part of the verse says this, but let a man examine himself. That's what the book says. Now, like I said, it's even me examine you, and you can examine me, but examine yourself. Now, if you're sitting here tonight and you're thinking already, well, I'm better than so-and-so, and I'm more faithful than she, and I'm more faithful than he is, and I give more than so-and-so, and so on and so forth, that's what you need to repent of right now. I'm serious. You say, what do I need to do? Ask the Lord to forgive you for that. And you can go home with a smile on your face, as they say, like a wave on a slop bucket. Some of you know how I'm that. I can always tell the ones that don't understand all that language of the hillbillies. All right, and you can with a joy in your heart. All right, so revival's got to begin with self-examination. In that same chapter, in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, but if we would judge ourselves, that's what the book says, judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Well, the Bible says, judge not, preacher. Oh, it does? Let's go over there and read that verse. And you that just said that, if you find it before I do, raise your hand. I'm going to give you time. I've made an offer one time. I was able to give a fellow $5 one time, and I've been preaching on this. Not this subject, but making this kind of comment. And I've offered $20 now for it's 50 years and past now, for people that always using that, judge not, lest you be judged. I said, if you can stand up, quote me that verse, tell me where it's at, I'll give you $20. There was one fellow that quoted it, and he didn't know where it was at, so I'll give him $5. That's the truth. And so we're easy. We're fast on that. Judge not. Now watch carefully in the Bible, and I want to find you something here, and you will. Watch this. Judge not that. Didn't lest, it ain't in there. That you be not judged. Now watch carefully though. What the rest, you see, the people will read one verse, take it out of context, and base their whole life on it, and I'm just as good as the next person. Do you think I'd argue with you that you're just as good as I am? You say, what would you do? I'd laugh just like that. Well, I'm serious, man, I'm nothing. But anyway, let's look at the book. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now then. You said, whoa, I didn't know it said that. Well, watch on. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in thy own eye? You said, what does that take? It takes some self-examination before you go to get that mote out of your brother's eye. Now, it is okay for any one of you in here to come to Brother McFadden and say that there is a problem that you have and give it to me. If you have a problem with me in some way, it's okay for you to come and talk to me about it. I'm not going to eat your head off. I'm not going to bark at you and say, don't you know that I've been preaching now for 50 years? Do you tell me? You see what I mean? No. The Bible is clear. We are our brother's keeper. All right, this watch what it says here. You say, well, how in the world can this bring revival? Just hang on. All right, why beholdest the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam of thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thy own eye? All right, so we just let everybody do their own thing. That's not what it's not done yet. Now, thou hypocrite. Ooh. You say, who? Jesus Christ called him a hypocrite if that's your attitude. Now watch. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Does it say that you're not his keeper? Does it say that you're not to help one another? Does it say that you're not to edify your brother? Does it? Does it say you're not to? No. It says before you go to that brother, get everything clear in your own. Get everything under the blood. Get it all right. Get it right with your wife, right with your husband, right with your brother, right with your sister, right with everybody you can, right with the church. Then go. If there's anything there, then go to that person and talk to them. By this time, you're going to have a humble attitude. And there'll probably, when you go talk, there'll be tears running down your face. And as you talk to them and try to help them out, and they'll see your attitude immediately. I've did that before with people. I've had people come to me and talk to me about things. Man alive, you say, well, it hurts. Yes, but I've never forgotten it, and I've learned lessons, and I don't want to ever forget it. Glory to God. All right, let's go on. So, we are, my dear friend, we get our heart right so that we can help others. The Bible says this in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 3. It says, but in lowliness of mind, what does it say? Let each esteem other better than themselves. That'll get you along good in church. It really will. Yeah. Let this mind, the Bible said, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. See that attitude? See it? So he's telling us here, my dear friend, Kenneth, he says, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That has to do with charity. You say, well, preach, that's just love. No, love is spelled L-O-V-E. Charity is spelled C-H-A-R-I-T-Y. You say, well, don't get me started on that. Now, if you want a good definition of charity, the best, not one of the best, this is the best I have ever read, and I'm fixing to read it to you. I carry this with me. It is in the Old Cruden. They say that's a concordance. The Old Cruden Concordance of the Bible. Put out back about 1700, whatever it was. Cruden was quite a character. But anyway, he's got a definition in his, you either got it in your, if you got a Cruden Concordance, either in there or it ain't. That's all I know to tell you. But here's what he says. Now listen carefully, and I'll give you this. What he said is a good, it's to me, an outstanding definition of charity. Here it is. Charity is a principle of prevailing love to God and goodwill to men, which effectually inclineth one endued with it to glorify God and to do good to others, to be patient, slow to anger, and ready to put up with wrong. See, I don't like that definition. Well, I'm just... a lot of times I don't either, if you want to know the truth. All right. And ready to put up with wrong, to show kindness to all, and to seek good, the good of others, though with prejudice to himself, to help, in other words, let me read the sentence right. To show kindness to all and to seek the good of others, though with prejudice to himself. That's thinking somebody else. You give somebody else the benefit of the doubt. All right, let's go on. Here's a little bit more of it. All right, a person endued therewith does not interpret doubtful things to the worst sense. Oh. You said, I thought I was doing pretty good tonight till you started reading this thing. I know what you mean, right? Charity. Faith, hope, charity. Greatest of these is charity. That's what he said over there. All right, let's go on. Now watch. Is sorry for the sins of others. You mean even your people you don't like? All right. Is sorry for the sins of others, but rejoices when anyone does well, and is apt to hear, is apt to bear with their failings and infirmities, and lastly, this grace is never lost, but goes with us into another world and is experienced there. That's pretty good. Anybody ever read that before? I read it here about 10 years ago, I believe, and I got thinking about it. But anyway, charity. It's not just love. There's a difference. There's a difference. These new Bible, well, anyway, let's go on. Now, so we get in the Word of God, and we find that, my dear friend, there takes an attitude toward others. If you and I are going to help somebody else, we're going to have to be cleaned up first. Period. All right? You want revival. You said, well, if old so-and-so just get right, this church would be something. Well, why don't you get right? And maybe that you're the one that other one is thinking about. And you get in there and get right, it's going to put them in a place so they're going to have to get right. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Amen. All right, so now then we look into the book a little bit further. So, in the book of Luke, it takes some real seeing oneself before that real revival can come. In your Bible, in the book of Luke chapter 15, we have the parable. I guess you want to call it that. I don't know about that parable, Ben. It would probably, well, out on the money anyway. But anyway, in your Bible, in the book of Luke, you find the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, everybody knows what took place, right? You understand where he went. You understand what he did. He wanted his inheritance and so on, and he got it, and he went and he blowed his money and lived like the devil. That's what he did. But watch your Bible carefully, and this is what you and I need. Yes, how bad is that man? The Bible says in the book of James, if we break one of the commandments, we're guilty of all of them. That's what he says in the Bible anyway. All right. Now, in your Bible, in the book of Luke chapter 15, verse 18, it says, and I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you. That's the right attitude. Amen. And he's going to get that thing right. And he knows he's got to go to daddy to get it right before he be right with God. Right? Right. All right. Now watch. And the Bible says, and I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now listen carefully. If that boy had not had a repentant heart, right here it would have showed up. Remember what he said over there a while ago? I will arise and go to my father, and I'll tell my daddy that I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against him. Right? Now then his dad comes out, engulfs him in his arms, and he could have said, I got it made. But he didn't. He had a repentant heart. Watch what he says. Next verse. And the son said unto the father, that's verse 24, I have sinned against heaven. See it? And in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Amen. That's real, real repentance. That's what it takes. He didn't bring up anything that he thought about his daddy. He didn't bring up anything that he could have accused his dad of something, make him want to leave to start with. But he left everything that he was looking for back at home and went to the far country to try to find it. You ain't going to find it. He had a loving daddy. No daddy had a loving mother. And he so on and so forth. The only one contrary in that whole household that I find, it wasn't even a servant. It was one of his brothers. That's right. We'll not get into that. That's a different message altogether. All right. So then, there's got to be a mind change. And in the Word of God, repentance is not just a change of mind. You've got to have a change of mind. But you'll find every time in the Word of God, I challenge you to do it. Find in your Bible where where that everywhere from the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis to the end, when there's repentance done, there's a change takes place. Period. You'll find it. All right. In your Bible, in Isaiah 55:7, it said, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Thoughts? Well, I just keep them to myself. But let me read this again. Read it again. Kenneth, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and you, Brother Mac, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." You mean our thoughts can mess us up? Yes, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You think about something long enough, you're going to do it. Period. You get around somebody, and you stay around them very long, whatever's in that heart is going to come out right there. It's a law as fixed as gravity, and even more so. It'll come out. It'll come out. So the Bible goes on. "And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Get things right with your mind, in your heart and mind. Get that thing right. You say, "Well, I've had some bad thoughts." Confess them to God. He already knows it. Do you realize that God, to God, your and my thoughts are just like an open mouth to God? He knows our thoughts afar off, according to the Word of God. What a Savior we got. And that's good. All right, now then, just a few little things here before we quit. How you treat your mate, whether it's husband or wife. We're going to have a revival. It's going to have to start in home. Period. It's going to have to start in home. Now, my wife and I have been fighting all afternoon, and then fighting all the way over here, and then I get her by the arm and smile and say, "Oh, honey," and then scoot over close to her and put my arm around her. Number one, I'm a hypocrite. Number two, I've sinned against God and against her. Right? Right. Smile and come in and shake the hand of the preacher and tell him, you know, how to a good job he did this morning and all like that. And all the time knowing, man, if he only knew the thoughts that went through my mind this morning while he was a preacher. Oh, it'll come out one of these days. It'll come out. It'll come out. Don't be a hypocrite. All right. You say, "Well, I didn't." Well, glory to God. That's something you don't have to worry about. Now, how about it? Go to the book of 1 Peter. In the book of 1 Peter. You say, "Well, I just stick with Paul." Well, go ahead and stick with Paul. And Peter and Paul will go together. And you get whammied after a while. I do. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3 said this. "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto to your own husband." Husbands, that, being obeyed not the word, they may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. And that's not her preaching off the coffee table. You say, "What's that conversation mean?" Watch it. "While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." And he's going to tell you what it is. Here it goes. "Whose adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold." Say, "Preacher, see there? I don't wear any rings and I don't wear any earrings. I don't wear no crosses around my neck." Man, that ain't what he says. That ain't what he says. Say, "How do you know?" Look at the last part. Adorning, plaiting the hair, a wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel. You say, "What's that mean?" It means what it says. It means you don't put on the dough for us hillbillies. You understand what that means. But my dear friend, if you don't, you'll have to go to Danny. He'll explain it to you. All right. That's what that means. And it don't mean getting up in the middle of the coffee table preaching to your wayward husband. All right. Watch this. "But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, with the sight of God, great pride." That's what he's talking about. They're giving you the definition of what a conversation is. That's everything from the top of your head, the bottom of your feet, your tongue, everything about you. Your attitude toward your husband. Your attitude toward your wife. All right, go on. "For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands." There it is again. All right? Now, as for these, I don't think Hillary would care anything about that verse. Verse 6, I guarantee you. All right, "even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord." Whew, man. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and not afraid with any amazement. "Likewise, ye husbands." Likewise, husbands. He said, huh? Well, we just keep that with the women, preacher. Don't go on. Likewise, ye husbands. All right, here we go. I've been one of them for 50 years, coming up to 20 this month. Hallelujah, Mama. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Likewise, ye husbands. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Now watch it now, men. Woo. Give an honor unto the wife. And here's some more they ain't going to like. As unto the weaker vessel. Women, there's nothing wrong with being a weaker vessel. That throws the shift of the burden entirely on the man. Have you ever got that through your head yet? You women folks get that through your head, you're going to be a lot better off. You said, what? Yes, man, you will. You say, well, what am I supposed to do? Nothing. They, people get mad all the time. They call at home wanting to sell something and so on and so forth. And we were on the, you get on the no-hit list. They just keep on calling anyway. And so they'll call the wife and she says, well, I can't make that kind of decision. My husband ain't here. And they like to blow the head gasket on the other end of the line. Well, can't you? No, I can't because my husband ain't here. He's the one makes the decision. See how easy that is for mama? Ain't that simple? Now, that's real good, ain't it? Just lay the burden over on the brother. See? That's our place. Now, watch carefully in your King James Bible. And I done flipped the page, waving my arms here. Watch. It says, as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Both. That place for the wife, that place for the husband. And my dear friend, when we walk right together, my wife and I get on our knees and God lends an ear. Why? Because we want to keep everything right between us. I mean, we get calls at all time, day and night. I got 4 calls the other morning on the deer stand. Had it on vibrate. Man. All right, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one another. I'm supposed to have compassion toward my wife. My wife's supposed to have compassion to me. You say, well, I thought it stopped up there. Nay. It didn't stop there. Be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. You say, what? You mean to? Yes, that's what I mean. You smile at the brother and the sister, we smile at the sisters, and so on and so forth. And then mean it's the devil towards your wife or your husband? That's hypocrisy. See what the book's telling you? As brethren. You mean to tell me my wife and I are supposed to be like brethren? Yeah. Even more than that, man. Watch what goes on. Watch what. All right. Not rendering evil for evil. It says be pitiful. Yeah, amen. Be pitiful, be courteous. You mean courtesy has something to do with revival? I told some folks at church a few years ago, these folks had about 6-7 kids, and he'd be walking in with the Bible, and she'd be carrying the baby in a thingamajig here and a big thing over her shoulder. And so I brought it up in the message. I said, if I see that thing again, I'm going to throw you out in the parking lot. Not the wife, but the husband. I'm going to put you out the door, man. You say, why? He ain't courteous. Isn't it wonderful? I see him, you come in, it ought to be more than balanced. Let the wife carry the baby. You carry her, whatever. If you got it in one of them little doodads, you carry it. Carry the diaper bag and everything. And so on and so forth. She's packed that young'un a many a mile. You take over. You say, what is that? Courtesy. Open the door for her. I usually try to get in ahead of my wife sometimes so I can hold the door. Keep, you know, them stout ones. I'll go in first and then hold it. I don't want, you know, I'm afraid she'd get caught up in that thing. Be courteous. Be courteous. You say, I ain't never heard a message on courtesy. Oh, yes, you have. All right, let's go on. Now, pitiful, courteous, not rendering evil for evil. Boy, that's easy to do. Or railing for railing. What do you got? What do you got here? What have you got here? Railing for railing. What have you got? Evil for evil. What have you got? You just got to balance it. Both of you rotten. Right? That's what it. Railing for railing. Anybody come out ahead? No. No. Oh, man. All right. But contrarywise, blessing. He said, what? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that despitefully use you and persecute you. And say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Somebody does you that way, say, thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. I needed it and more to boot. You shut them up. Soft answer, according to the book of Proverbs, turneth away anger. See, what's this got to do with revival? If you ain't got this, you ain't going to get the other. I'm just telling the truth. I believe it with all my heart. Now, my wife's going to hold me to some of this stuff. I promise you that. I told you it's hard to bring. It's hard stuff. It is. It's rough. All right. For he that will love life and see good days. Do you love life and see good days? Yeah, I enjoy it. Don't you enjoy days? Do you enjoy it? I mean, really. Look forward to tomorrow. What's going to be tomorrow? Rain, thunderstorms, and trying to hunt. Won't that be fun? So the Bible says, all right, let's go ahead here. Not rendering evil for evil, railing for rain, contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore called that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue, there's that tongue again, from evil, and his lips, there it goes, that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, remember Job, eschew evil, and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You say, what are you saying? Do this in your home, it'll work. You say, well, that's to the church. Well, who are you? Who am I? Am not we the body of Christ? This building is not the body of Christ. It's a nice building. Wonderful. But this is not the body of Christ. This ain't going to be taken out here. I can tell you that, but it ain't. All right. So in the Bible, he tells us, he's telling us, my dear friend, right down through here, on how to get along at home and with one another in the church. That's what he's trying to tell us. All right. Now, how do you get along? How do you get along with your brothers and your sisters? Well, the Bible's telling you in the book of Romans chapter 12, and I'll give you a word over there, and you know what the word is, where I'm going. And here's what the word is. And he says, Kenneth, he says, in chapter 12, and he says in verse 8, or he that exhorteth is on exhortation, he that giveth lame simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. You say, man, what in the world does that mean? That means not a counterfeit. Dissimulation has to do with insincerity. Harry goes, there's that expression again, putting on the dog. You got to see Danny here at the church. All right. So, not with, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly, affectionately one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. That'll apply in the home. That'll apply in the church. That'll apply in business or anywhere else. That's what this book's for. All right. A good attitude. A humble heart of peace and of love and of charity to others. You say, what is it going to take for God to use me? Some of the old men that I read after, one I come across this, is a book by Billingsley, A.S. Billingsley, copyrighted 1878, and the biography of George Whitfield. And George Whitfield's got about 3 pages in this book, they've got in this book, of his attitude toward himself that is excerpts from his messages. I'll just read 2 or 3 of them. He said, I am a poor, unworthy wretch. He said, I am myself. I am myself to be but a novice. And then he said, this is just 3 of them, my heart is like Ezekiel's temple. The more I search into it, the greater the abominations that I discover. And you say, who in the world was George Whitfield? he'd go down to the racetrack. Now, but they used to have horse races. It's been in way back. And somebody said, where are you going? We're going down to the horse race. He said, how in the world are you going to get a crowd down there? He said, just watch. He went down there, and he got up on some kind of a back of a wagon and started preaching. And the people started coming from the horse races over and just about completely abandoned the horse race to come over to listen to him preach. He said, how in the world did he do that? His attitude about himself, God used him. God used him. God used him. They used to get his messages along with some of the other old timers, and they would copy them down and then send them cross country by the post or the Pony Express, whatever. Not Pony Express. But anyway, and then people would gather, and a man would get up and read the message that Whitfield or some of them old timers had preached. And people just get saved right and left, right and left. You say, how come God used them? Their attitude. They were humble and broken in for the Lord men. And that's what it's going to take by God's grace. Job said in 9:20, said, if I justify myself, my own mouth shall condemn me. See, there's that mouth again. Now, let me read that again. If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me wrong. Amen. He's right. All right. Let me just say a few things here and we'll close. In your Bible, in the book of 2 Timothy, there's something that stands out here, and it's coming up Thanksgiving. And that ought to be every day of our life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, 2 Timothy 3 and 1 says, this also in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. Did you ever see such in all your life? But right square in the middle of that, do you see what I just got through reading? Disobedient to parents, what? Unthankful. Unholy, without natural affection. Isn't that amazing? A no thankful attitude leads to perversion. So I don't believe that. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Everybody knows where that's at and what that's about. Romans chapter 1, look at verse 20 and 21. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. First step. See it? Do you know where it winds up? A sodomite. Study your King James Bible. You're going to be shocked at the times where that unthankfulness comes in amongst some of the vilest and the most ungodly things there is. You say, what? Just a simple thank you. You say, why is that? Because Hebrews tells you and me that that's a sacrifice. Sacrifice. Thanksgiving, that sacrifice of praise. There's something to that we do not lack. We want to be thanked and we want to be praised, but we don't want to dish it out again out of our mouths. You understand? You say, what's this all do to the revival? Everything. Get on your knees tonight before you go to bed. In the bathroom, go somewhere, hide out, and just thank God for Brother Parker and Sister Parker. Yeah. Amen. You say, what else? That's enough. Start with that. And then tomorrow night, thank him for your wife, for your husband, children. And just be thankful all day long. You're going deer hunting tomorrow, to sit out there somewhere soaking wet and say, Lord, thank you for the rain. He said, not being a hypocrite. No, it ain't. What would it be like if somebody prayed and hadn't rained for 3.5 years? Anyway, and so you understand what I mean? Thankful, thankful, thankful. All right, and there's something else here. Unthankful is the downfall, no doubt, of man. It's a downward path. But the lack of love to God. We just don't love God like we should. He said, how can we do that? You ain't going to love God sitting around watching television all day long. You ain't going to love God playing the computer. Some of you moms and dads, you got kids that's watching them deals, them little fighting games and all that stuff. Not only if they don't have any blood on them, that you better do some research. There are colors that affect the mind of a child. And if you'll look, those colors are continually flashing. It reprograms the mind. You ever wonder why your kids just kind of... And you talk to them and they go... You say, you ever wonder? That could be part of it. Their brains are getting rewired with sight. And you ever notice how fast... I've been preaching against video games since Pac-Man come out. You remember how many of you remember Pac-Man? Do you realize that was the first of the stuff that come out? You say, why'd you preach again them? Because that little thing eat up something. It's went from that. Preacher, a friend of ours works in a housing place for mental problem people. Afraid to get around too close. And he went in there the other day and he said, one of them men was sitting there. I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm killing zombies. Said, killing zombies. And man, he was going to town. Boom, boom, blowing them away all day long. Did you ever wonder how come that people can walk into a place and mow people down? Brrr. One thing, they're on drugs. Get them down to pharmacy. And they're on drugs. Say, preacher, do you think I'd say stuff like this without researching it? Do you really think? All right. Did you know that every single one of the murders and all that in these colleges and stuff, did you know that every single shooter was on a mind-altering drug prescribed either by the school and doctors and so on? Did you know that? You better get to searching. All right, so anyway, how did I get off on that? So, lack of love for God. God is a jealous God. Learn the Bible, learn about God instead of some computer game. All right, note, idolatry and fornication in a King James Bible go hand in hand. I don't believe none of that stuff. You want to read it, go to Exodus. If you want to read it, go into the book of 1 Corinthians and you're going to find there how that those people back over there, my dear friend, when they worship that calf, remember all that stuff? I'll not read it all. Remember that? What did they do? They worshiped that calf and so on, and then they rose up to play, P-L-A-Y. And that play is dealing with fornication and idolatry, and fornication, my dear friend, go hand in hand. You study your King James Bible, and all you're going to be able to do when you get done studying is amen. What do we got going on in this world now? Idolatry. Every sex sin that is imaginable to the wildest imagination. All right. And then just simple. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Pray every day and you'll grow. 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 Now, I don't know what the need might be tonight. I do not know. I know that this is by God's grace. We tried to bring what the Lord laid on our heart. Now, it's something you need to get right to your wife. Get it. Don't wait till you get home. Just get to it. You'll think of some excuse before you get out the door. Maybe it's your husband. Maybe you need to go to your husband. Maybe you need to go to your wife. Maybe you need to go to children. Children, you may need to go. You may need to go to a brother party. You may need to, whatever. I don't know what the deal is. But let's get out of here tonight with a smile and with joy in our hearts. And you can actually look at your wife and smile and give her a kiss and say, I love you. And nothing between you and your Savior, nothing between you and your wife, nothing between you and your brothers and sisters. And just go home and lay down and just sleep so good you're ashamed of yourself. And in them wee hours of the night, us old folks, we have to get up several times. and get down by the bed and pray a little bit. Just crawl back in bed, just go right back to sleep. Say, Lord, bless Mama. She's doing good. Listen at her snore. Ah, oh, hallelujah. She's sleeping good tonight. And just sleep like a baby. There ain't nothing like it. Let's pray. Lord, you